Hello, everyone, and welcome to Berlin Companion, a weekly podcast about everything you never even knew you wanted to know about Berlin. My name is Beata, and some of you might know me as the woman behind the Berlin history blog called Kreuzberg's Berlin Companion. Or you might know me from Twitter. Last week, we heard the account of some pretty dramatic events which took place in Berlin in the last days of the Second World War. Landing an aeroplane amongst artillery barrage after flying into the midst of a battlefield, in this case Berlin's Tiergarten Park during the Battle of Berlin, would be a challenge under any circumstances. But performing that landing with a wounded, unconscious pilot actually blocking the front seat gives that story an extra defiant dimension. I must warn you, however, that the episode is nothing for the weak of heart. If you haven't heard it yet, check out Berlin Companion Podcast Library on your streaming service of choice. By the way, today's episode might be hard on those among our listeners who are weak of stomach. Just saying. So far in this podcast, we have talked about Berlin time, Berlin clocks, and a hell of a landing, which in a rather neat way leads to our story today. One of the things that went up and down at the old Flughafen Tempelhof, the original Tempelhof Airport. We're going to visit it in the 1930s. Whoever lives in the vicinity of a busy airport knows the drawbacks very well. The noise of starting and landing aeroplanes can bring any conversation to a halt and occasionally even de-roof one's house. Just ask anyone who lives under a flight corridor, starting with yours truly. As you probably know, the new Berlin-Brandenburg International Airport in Schönefeld miraculously, at least to those who follow the airport construction soap opera, opened at last. And after we had left Berlin-Kreuzberg and moved to Berlin-Köpenick, we found ourselves living directly underneath one of the said corridors. We knew what we were doing and are far from whining about it, but with machines always starting and landing against the wind, we dread the days when it blows from the east. And that's not only metaphorically speaking. But believe me, it could be much worse. How so, you ask? Well, let's take a short flight to Berlin in mid-1930s. Did you know that by the mid-1930s, almost 90 flights started and landed each day at the old Flughafen Tempelhof? Old, in this case, means the original Tempelhof Airport, whose main buildings were located close to the northern edge of today's park. If you take the U-Bahn line U7 or U7 to Südstern, then walk south along Lilienthalstraße down to Columbiadamm, you can enter the park through the Columbiadamm gate, the one right next to the cemeteries. From the late 1920s on, that's how you would be entering the old airport area. In 1928, when it was given its name, the by now little-known and truncated street called Lilienthalstraße on the border between Kreuzberg, Tempelhof and Neukölln used to be one of the main access streets to Flughafen Tempelhof when coming from Berlin Center. It's quite hard to believe when you see that half-baked stretch mouthing in Columbiadamm, which itself did not exist until the 1950s, but there it is. The airport, which opened in a very modest form on October the 8th, 1923, with basically just two sheds and a lawn for a runway, expanded by then and became a proper hub itself. So proper, in fact, that it soon reached its maximum capacity, and the construction of its successor, the mother of all airports, as the world-famous British architect Norman Foster once described it, would begin. The foundation stone for the still existing but disused, or rather repurposed, Zentralflughafen Tempelhof was laid in 1936. But don't forget, the old Flughafen Tempelhof actually stayed very much in use. It had a beautiful main building with an elegant Mitropa restaurant, including a lovely terrace, a couple of hotel rooms, hairdressers, a cinema, which doubled as a lecture room, and its own pneumatic post station. Its design was modern, elegant, and could easily keep up with the best airports around the world. But, as I said, by the 1930s, the main downsides of living in the direct proximity of the airfield were clear: noise, pollution, and an occasional crash. In short, what we would definitely recognize as adverse circumstances even a century later. However, in the early years of the airport's operation, people of Tempelhof and Neukölln living near the runway had to deal with a much more unappetizing side effect of early passenger aviation: nausea. Not their own, though. Passengers taking those early flights often did so for the first time in their lives. Also, being locked up in a loud, trembling machine, which then went up in the air only to face occasional turbulences, made not only those poor souls quite sick. Enter sick bags, which until 1949, when inventor Gilmar Sjödahl created a vomit bag lined with plastic, were either regular paper bags or bags made of wax paper. And these had to be disposed of as quickly as possible, in short, before the matter inside them penetrated the container, or before the smell got too oppressive, which on board of an airborne machine can happen very quickly indeed. This is why the sick bags used by passengers flying to or from Tempelhof Airport to relieve their tormented stomachs were often duly gotten rid of by throwing them out of the then-still-opening aeroplane windows. Also, being able to open the window most certainly helped some of the window seat passengers circumnavigate the need for a sick bag in the first place. After numerous complaints from incensed Berliners whose balconies and fresh washing got soiled as a result, the airport authorities introduced a new regulation. The sick bags were to be collected by a member of the crew and stored on board until they could be disposed of elsewhere. Which probably meant they could have been dumped somewhere over Berlin's or Brandenburgian forests, full of unsuspecting hikers and mushroom gatherers just enjoying the day. And if you enjoyed today's admittedly unappetizing episode, please leave a comment. And if you haven't done so yet, follow the podcast on your podcast streaming service of choice. Also, please consider becoming the show's sponsor and buy me a coffee to help cover the cost of its running. You'll find the details in the show notes. And do return next week for another story from the treasure trove of Berlin Companion. In the meantime, you will find me on Twitter at Kreuzberg, that's Kreuzberg with ED at the end, and on WordPress under Kreuzberg Berlin Companion. My Berlin audio tours are available via voice maps. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you in Berlin.